always loved the pictures where she just kind of looked stupid, for lack of a better word, derpy, like tongue out, or like, you know, just doing silly things.
Welcome to The Woofy Show, the ultimate dog lover's digest. Meet your hosts, Brian and Magda, two dog lovers ready to help you be the best dog parent, unravel the mysteries of canine behavior, and keep you updated on the latest trends in the dog world. This podcast has something for everyone. Get ready for heartwarming stories, expert advice, and a lot of laughs.
On today's episode, we have Sarah from Derp Dog Studios joining us. She's a professional pet photographer, and we're going to discuss her story and the unique way she takes photos to help showcase your dog's personality.
And also, we're going to be discussing how people can get involved in taking pictures for rescues and shelters in order to help those dogs get adopted. So welcome to the show, Sarah. Why don't you start by telling us a little bit about yourself and kind of why did you choose to proceed with your career in photography?
Fair question. Well, I've been a photographer for 12 years, which feels very silly to say, but I've only been in the whole dog world, dog photography, in the last, I guess, year. I pursued photography because I didn't want to work for anybody else.
Yeah, that's what people think is just a hobby. And so the fact that saying you've done it for 12 years shows that you can make money doing this.
Yes. It's wonderful and I love it. And I've always, you know, taken photos of dogs, and all of my careers within photography. I was a wedding photographer for a while, and commercial photography. All of my clients have always had one thing in common. They've been obsessed with dogs. I've always used my dog as content on my social media accounts and my website. And I would say more people knew who my dog's name was than my own. I've entered the dog world after the passing of my first dog. And it just kind of has turned into this like lovely, wonderful career that I should have started way sooner because it's so much fun.
So I think I know you have some of it on your website, but so what inspired you kind of, and you can probably tell the story of your previous dog in the passing if you want to explain.
So Jinx was my first dog. Got her when I was 20, and probably shouldn't get a dog when you're 20, but I did. Packed her into every house party, came everywhere. She was wonderful. When we were ready for our second dog, we got Rooster, and Rooster joined the family. And shortly after that, we had the idea of doing Derp Dog and doing the photography that way. We did all of our test shoots, was ready to launch, and Jinx was unfortunately diagnosed with osteosarcoma. So we put that on pause and dealt with her cancer diagnosis by amputating her leg. And then we had 8 wonderful months after that with her being happy and no longer in pain. And then finally she did succumb to cancer coming back, and we did have to put her down. So putting her down, worst thing ever, terrible time. And I was, you know, obviously depressed, as most people would ever be putting down their dog. And I had the memory pop up that, you know, a year ago you were taking test shoots and doing all that with Jinx and Rooster. And I was like, you know what, like that's a good grief project, something to restart and rekindle. So it just kind of threw it all together, and like officially launched like May 2023. And it's just kind of like blown up in a really wonderful
way. That's awesome. That's kind of when we started as well.
It was May.
It's just kind of evolved into like a really wonderful way for me to like channel my grief and like meet a bunch of people's dogs and like their soul dog, and that while also like still giving back to the community and, you know, making a living photographing dogs.
So you have a very unique style of how you take the pictures. So what kind of inspired you to do that?
I feel like I've always owned dogs that like boxers. They kind of are like a very stoic, regal, like intimidating looking dog, but they are the goofiest personality. And I feel like when I would take pictures of Jinx, people would be like, oh, she looks sad, or she looks like very, I don't know, intimidating, or, you know, people have their opinions about bully brains and that. And I always loved the pictures where she just kind of looked stupid, for lack of a better word, derpy, like tongue out, or like, you know, just doing silly things. And I've always been drawn to those photos and kind of like just sharing their personality. So when I thought about doing like studio portraits and photos of dogs, it was like a no-brainer to just go with the derpy, silly side of everyone's dog, and just a little bit more like of a personality thing than a here's my gorgeous, stunning dog.
That's true. I mean, you look at our dog, Maple. Yeah, her throat, she just looks so unhappy all the time.
But it's just what
toddlers do. Their face is just like, I hate my life. And it's just like, wow, what's wrong? Why does your dog hate you?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? She's got that RBF, you know, like on her.
Or the photos where they don't look like they hate you, you know you have a treat in your hand and you're like, dang it. It wasn't, you weren't looking at me lovingly. You were looking at the treat.
Exactly. So I can see what that would kind of show.
But I love when her like lips get stuck,
and
it looks so derpy. And I'm like, oh my God, this is so adorable.
Yeah, that like the tongue out, the eyes crossing in, trying to catch a treat, like anything that I can do to make them look a little bit silly, I'm here for.
So what methods do you use to make them look silly, if you want to share?
Yeah.
Don't want to give away your secrets,
Secrets on this. treats. So catching treats, that's always a no-brainer. Yeah. Two, also like the lens that I use. So like if you were to Google like what lens to use for dog photography or portraits, you will not come up with a wide-angle lens.
Yeah.
I use a wide-angle lens because it kind of distorts them coming very close.
They don't use that 50 to 85 mil normally.
Yeah, so using a wide-angle lens allows them to kind of get close to me, and also still kind of like capture them in a little bit of a goofy like distortion. And then, you know, just peanut butter, putting a treat in their mouth, or like kind of like I'll like share a treat with them and like pull it back. So then they're licking their lips and they're, you know, their teeth might get caught on their lip. Just like things like that. And then, you know, the tricks, all the tricks that dogs know, doing a high five or things like that. And, you know, obviously I'm doing it too slow and it's a little cruel to the dogs, but those. And the one trick that I am obsessed with as of late is people whose dog that know roll over or like play dead their ears, their like jowls, everything. I love those photos so much.
I have taken a picture of Maple one time while she was playing dead and her ears just went like flop and she looks like a bat, like for real.
I'm they like, look so like puppy-like and just like so silly. And I just, I really need to teach Rooster that because it's one of my favorite tricks that people's dogs know.
And that's good because I guess a lot of like pet parents, they don't take those photos themselves because you have to be ready for it. Those are hard to take with a phone because it's not quick enough sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's quite fascinating.
But also the lens is not right on the phone. Like it's kind of hard to catch that too.
Yes.
I bet, does it get really chaotic during your photo shoots?
I mean, sibling dogs that come in can sometimes feed off each other and be a little bit chaotic. But for the most part, I think people are usually surprised at how well their dog takes to the environment. And I mean, like a food motivated dog always helps.
Yeah.
But I would say that it's like, controlled chaos.
I like that.
It's really fun to watch. And it's like, I feel like the parents are just like sitting there like so proud and be like, yeah, that's my dog. But like, it's, I don't know. It's controlled chaos. It's a lot of fun.
Do you have helpers with you when you do it or do you try to do it all yourself?
So sometimes I do it myself. But I do have an assistant for the majority of the time. All my donated sessions, I generally don't hire an assistant to be there. But yeah.
Cause it would be, I'm just meaning it would be hard to like get them to do silly things or throw a treat in one hand while your camera's in the other. And you're like,
I would say that my wrist hurts a lot from doing that. But even with an assistant, I find that it's easier for me to do those kinds of things myself because if a dog is watching that human with the treat, their eyes won't be on me. And then it kind of like loses the focus of me on camera.
It's like the assistant has to be on your shoulders.
I'll occasionally have like the owners, like if I'm not getting the rollover the right way, I'll have the owner do it and like stand on the backdrop with the dog. But for the most part, I'm able to do it by myself, except for, you know, sometimes the group portrait.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a little bit more hands.
Yeah. I can imagine.
So what are some reasons that you think like a dog owner or pet parent should like invest in photos and especially maybe like fun ones instead of the traditional, just like fancy portraits, like kind of
thing. So I will say we do take normal portraits.
Fair enough.
We do. I don't post them, but we do take them. But I would say that like, at the end of the day, like you're going to have a lot of photos of your dog on your phone, and, you know, maybe multiple portrait sessions if you're lucky and your family photos throughout the years that you have your dog. But I think like personality wise, being able to look at a photo and be like, that's my dog or that's my silly dog or that like encapsulates who my dog was. I think that's like a really lovely thing to have and a lovely thing to have for the rest of your life. Yeah, I just... you'll never have too many photos of your dog. And I mean, I can say that from having Jinx, like I still look back at photos all the time, or like me and my spouse, we still send photos of like, do you remember this photo? Or like, do you remember this of like our dog that's passed and stuff. So it's always nice. And it's also nice that I have photos of Jinx and Rooster together, even though their time together was like so short.
No, that's interesting as well. Like you said, with the personality, because that brings kind of sparks an emotion and a feeling too. Than just like, oh, I remember while we were at that park kind of thing. It's like, oh yeah. You know, like for example, Maple with the lips kind of thing. I know that's a taller thing, but to us, she's the only one that does that. So it's like,
we laugh
at it. And now it's like, gives you that happy feeling instead of like a, oh, that was her favorite park. And she, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like
that.
Or even like the photos you have up of like her in her sporting. Yes. Like those are just like really nice keepsakes. Cause it's like, that's probably when she was like happiest and probably like very bonding for you guys to work together like that.
Yeah.
I think those are always nice.
Yeah. That's why I like action shots. Yeah. I don't like the shots that just like static and the dog doesn't really do anything. They just sit there looking cute. Yeah. But it's like, I want to capture like her.
But that's,
like
that's
in her element, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And for us, that's like her doing sports. Yeah. That's what, in our mind, that's what her is.
Yes. Yeah.
So what kind of sets apart like a professional photographer versus like a do-it-yourself
a hobbyist
thing? Or hobbyist.
Hobbyist.
You know, I think with Derp Dog, like, I think the thing that sets me apart from like doing it yourself, this, that, and the other is like the experience. So like, first and foremost, the experience of watching your dog do it, I think is like really fun for owners. Like they have a really good time watching their dog just like do stupid things or like, you know, try all of their tricks in order to get a treat with like not even asking them to do anything. And then also like going through their proofing gallery and just like seeing all of the faces of their dog and like how many chaotic things that they did. And then having like a final product that just like, they didn't have to spend hours being like, how do I do this? Or how do I remove this? Or all those kinds of things. So I think one, the experience of just like how fun it is to do a session sets it apart. And then also just like the final product is probably just a little,
little extra.
You can only do so much with an Instagram filter, to be honest.
But I wonder, is it yourself that chooses the picture that the person gets it? Or is it
We do proofing galleries. So I throw up all the images in a proofing gallery and then they go through and they select the ones.
I was going to ask, I was going to ask, how do you decide? Especially, I guess, if you're firing so fast, it's like, this one, the mouth is open a little bit more than this one, but that one, the tongue's out. So which one? So, okay, that's good that you allowed that.
No, and I think that's half, like, I joke that that's like a third of the experience is going through the proofing gallery because it's so funny. Like, you're just, it's just like a bunch of laughs and it's just a bunch of like seeing your dog and all of the things that you watched.
That would be so hard to choose.
As an owner, like, you'll see those photos. You'd be like, yes, that's funny, but is that my dog?
Yeah, that's true.
And like kind of picking off of that.
Yeah. So, I would need like a month to choose. I'm sorry. You're going to have to give me time.
Narrow it down and then you go the next day and then you look like, no, I would work for like a
process of elimination.
Yeah. I mean, you can always buy them all.
Yeah. True.
So how does like the kind of your photo sessions help create those like lasting memories? I know you said just like that's their dog, but is there any other ways that kind of helps them have those like memories with their dogs?
I mean, I think in legacy sessions, like my donated like sessions with the older dogs, I think it's one of those, like they're seeing their dog kind of like light up and like not just be like the old dog that they have in their house.
Okay, yeah.
So like the experience of actually like watching their dog work for the photos or this, that, and I think is like a really great way to see your dog and not just be like, oh, like my dog's old and like just hanging out
at home.
Old. Yeah. So there's that. And sorry, what was the main question on that one?
Just like ways that kind of the sessions and the photos help with like lasting memories and help people have like those happy memories.
I don't know, like whenever I've gotten photos done, I can always remember the experience that it was, like whether it was a good or bad experience or I enjoyed the photographer that was taking our photos or this, that, and the other. I can always remember that. So my hope is that they're going to look back at it and it's just going to be like funny and like an enjoyable experience rather than it being like, oh yeah, we just got some photos done.
Okay. So they're not just remembering the photo.
So it's not like disconnected. Yeah. It's more like
they're remembering that day.
Yeah. They're remembering that day. They're remembering their dog in their prime or at whatever stage they were.
Yeah.
So, for your kind of photography, are there any like special moments or special expressions that you like to capture the most?
She already said that.
With the upside down, so. Yeah. The rollover, the play one. Dead is 100% lately, like, my favorite. Floppy ears, floppy jowls, like, just that. And I like the teeth caught on the lip. I don't know if it's because of TikTok and, like, that whole, like, sometimes my teeth get stuck on my lip, like, that.
Yeah.
But I just, like, they go from looking, like, so smart and, like, ready for a treat to just looking like there's nothing going on in between their head.
Yeah, that just looks, like, so silly.
Yeah, that's
silly.
So true.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know how to make her do it on command. It just kind of happens sometimes.
I find that if, like, I fake throw a treat, they'll, like, go to think that they're going to. So they'll get, like, that, like, they'll open their mouth ever enough. So slightly that they'll catch it.
That's
so true. We gotta try that.
I gotta try it.
And then teach her on command.
But then we gotta give her the tree. Let's not torture her.
No torture.
We're gonna call it Derp Dog.
Derp.
So for your photography, is it all in studio or do you?
I've toyed with the idea of going outside a studio, but I just think that, like, in terms of the style of photography that I do and really enjoy, Derp Dog is going to stay in studio.
Yeah.
I have been, like, a wedding photographer previous life. And so I still do minis annually. So, like, I do minis in spring and in fall and at Christmas. So I will continue to invite people out with their dog. A lot of people bring their dogs to those minis and can kind of have, like, a family portrait outdoors or in studio. So yeah, there's those options with, like, Cerebo Creative, which isn't Derp Dog. But those are always dog friendly.
Well, you kind of mentioned to us previously that you do this whole give back project for shelters, right? So how does that kind of work?
Yeah. So when we relaunched, we kind of were like, a huge initiative was giving back to rescues and to old dogs or sick dogs. And so each month we donate a session to rescues and a session to an older dog or a sick dog. And those older dogs and sick dogs are just randomly drawn. You can nominate a dog, either your dog or a friend's dog, for those sessions. And those sessions are kind of like the cost of, like, your dog being older or being sick is astronomical. So we want to be able to, like, offer those sessions, even though financials are quite tight when you're dealing with those. And then the rescue sessions was just seeing that, like, oftentimes portraits can make or break a dog getting adopted. And a lot of dogs get overlooked because of bad photos or because they're older. So a lot of the times when I reach out to rescues, I'm asking for their older dogs or their dogs that maybe have some issues, like reactivity, or, like, maybe not on paper the perfect dog, or black dogs, because those dogs have a higher rate of not being adopted. And so those ones,
I heard that.
I actually didn't know that.
Black dogs, for some reason, people don't want to adopt them. I don't understand why. Because Black Lab is actually the most popular dog that there is. And it's like, why not?
That's why I was confused, because they are very popular. So that's why I was like, why would people not want to adopt them?
But I guess it's very hard also to take pictures of black dogs, right? Because
that is a huge part of it. It's like the photos don't show up, and then people are taking these pictures when they're in a shelter. So it's like,
it's very dog. It's, and
these dogs aren't in, like, a comfortable environment or, like, super excited about, like, what's happening. So just being able to, one, take those photos so that they have better photos, and then two, writing up a bio and posting it on Derp Dog. And being able to ask my audience to share that and get the word out. And we've had really great success.
The photos you do with shelters, do you bring the dogs to the studio or does that?
Yes, we ask the foster families to bring the dogs in, or we ask volunteers to pick up the dogs from the shelter to bring them to the studio.
Just like you said, the shelters don't have the best lighting. And
place
to take photos. I wasn't sure if you went there to do them.
We asked them to come to the studio. It's just easiest for me to keep with
like control the lightning, control the lighting, control the environment.
And then also, like, I think sometimes shelters can be very overstimulating for the dog in the first place, that when they're no longer around a bunch of other dogs, they can kind of, you know, get used to the space, pick up some toys, pick up some treats, and tell me what
and
they
have
want.
A good time.
A little adventure day.
So, like, can anyone do that then? Can anyone just call the shelter and be like, hey, I want to take some pictures of your dog?
Anyone can do it within reason.
So tell us about it.
So you need to first decide on a rescue and reach out to them about volunteering and just let them know that, like, your intent is to volunteer with the intent of actually like being able to take their dogs out for a day or for an adventure to photograph them, get some videos, and maybe like help write a bio to figure out like who this dog is outside of just being in the shelter. And then making sure that you're taking photos and videos and actually like figuring out who the dog is.
Yeah.
So that you can properly write a bio and be able to like help sell
that
dog.
Oh, so you write the bios yourself.
I do write the bios myself. You're not like required to.
Yeah.
But I think that it is helpful to have like an outside perspective. Like if you spent a whole day with a dog or like you spent an afternoon with a dog, I think that like you're going to have a little bit more of insight of like they were really great on a leash or we were struggling on a leash, but they're food motivated. So we were able to work through that. And like being able to kind of give like that firsthand experience, I think allows people to like see a photo and they're going to stay a bit and then be able to read and be like, okay, this dog is super cute. Or I'm really like somehow connected to this dog. What do they have in their bio?
And I guess you see it out in the real world instead of just like the, you know, shelter volunteers or employees, they just see the dog in the shelter.
Yes.
Other than like whatever they do with the dog, but to like an actual like experience and really seeing their personality. So I like that.
Yeah. Have you ever had a dog that was kind of a nightmare?
Yes, but I wouldn't call it a nightmare. Like,
okay.
I think that like, so stressed dogs, like it's heartbreaking more so than it is like a nightmare.
Yeah.
And so like I've dealt with dogs who were stressed or like, unsure about the circumstances or unsure about like the lights. Like the lights are usually like the hardest one for me to get through. And then also the paper. So our backdrops are paper and that can feel very funny for a dog with their paws.
Dogs don't go on paper very often. You're right.
And so it's like very different texture wise and things like that. And then we use like a mat, so that like older dogs or dogs who have issues with their back legs or things like that, they can sit on that and it has a little bit more traction.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like there's generally speaking, not nightmare dogs. If anything, they're just overexcited, overly food motivated, or just like ready to party or reverse of not ready to party and like very unsure about the situation and it just takes longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Is there, so on that topic, I guess, is there any kind of like suggestions or recommendations for a pet owner to do before they would come to a photo session? Like, should they exercise their dog or should the dog have lots of energy so they can?
So I always say that, like, I mean, don't withhold food from your dog in terms of like, don't feed them breakfast or anything, but like maybe don't feed them their full meal so that they are a little bit hungry and they are a little bit motivated. And then yes, making sure that your dog has had exercise that day and that they're not
too crazy.
Yeah.
Right?
And being wild. But generally speaking, I would say that the food is probably the easiest one. Not all dogs are food motivated.
Yes.
So if they have a favorite toy or something that they're always down for, those things can be super helpful. And then if you have a dog that is generally like nervous, I always say like bring their things. So if it's like a bedding, a blanket that's comforting, like sometimes I'll even use like their bed and I'll put it on the backdrop and they'll go there because that's like their comfort zone. And then we'll slowly remove the dog bed and those kinds of things. So that can be helpful. But yeah.
So is an hour enough? Like, I know your sessions are about an hour, right?
Yeah.
Like,
so
is
an hour
that generally
is
enough
most of the time? Yeah. But I do have like, so if you're bringing a third dog, an hour is not enough time.
Yeah.
I have a lot of clients that will reach out beforehand being like, my dog is a nervous Nelly or my dog is reactive or like is very like nervous in new situations and will take longer to warm up. And so I just book off an hour and a half or 2 hours for those so that I make sure that it's not like, okay, in and out.
Yeah,
it's time to figure it out. And then other dogs, people have asked to come and meet me beforehand, which I'm always fine with. Like you can come to my property. So it's not like a brand new experience for your dog if your dog does have troubles with new environments. And happy to do that. It's easy enough.
Yeah.
And I always happy to meet a dog.
Of course.
That's so true. So do you work with like, what are your process to decide? Because obviously a lot of your photos have like very bright, vibrant, colorful backgrounds. What's your process of like deciding what background color to use? Do you work with the owners and they pick?
Yeah,
or do
owners
you,
pick.
Owners pick?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
Yeah,
if,
okay.
If that
yeah,
was
so
like,
a lot of times
know.
People will reach out and ask.
Yeah.
And I usually say that, like, first and foremost, if you're looking at these photos to print for your home, consider that for one of your colors. Everyone gets two colors. Consider that for a color background. So if you wouldn't put bright yellow up in your home or bright pink, purple, whatever up in your home, maybe that's like a color that you use, but then you also do like a color that would fit in with your home aesthetic if you care about that.
Yeah.
And then picking colors. Generally, I say that like undertones of a dog. So like your dog would look great on orange, and people would oftentimes be like, that's crazy on orange.
Yeah.
But I'm like, it looks so good.
Really?
And it looks so lovely.
Well, it's like black dogs on black
backgrounds. Oh, it's so lovely. But people are always scared of dark backgrounds. Yeah. And I think that like, they don't understand how much lighting goes into it. Yeah. That like, of course, if you were to take it with your iPhone, it's going to look weird.
Yes.
But when you're taking these photos professionally and with studio lighting, it really pops and it really looks good.
I did videos with her with a blue background and it looked really nice.
Yeah. Too, or like eye color. If your dog, like, so like Aussies who have like the blue eyes, I always say like the light blue or even like the beige for like dogs that have like the Bernese Mountain dogs that have like the red, burgundy, or kind of look, like just like kind of matching little colors in there.
The colors
make them pop. So do you give them suggestions?
And then also I find a lot of people just scroll my Instagram, like looking for a dog that looks kind of like their dog and then being like, what color were they on? Did it look good?
So do you know on the top of your head how many color backdrops you have?
12.
12?
Okay. 12.
Oh, yeah. That's fine. That's too many choices though, right? I know. It's like,
and every time I think about this, I'm like, I need to remove, this is too many choices, because people get like paralyzed by the amount of choices. But then I'm like, what color do you remove?
That's
like,
so then you get two colors. So I guess you're having that safe one, and then let's go.
Let's go crazy.
So what do you find that people, when they want photos done, like what is the reason for it? Are they just for memories to have on their phone? Mm. Do they want them printed? What's kind of like
our generation is just obsessed with their dog, as they should be.
Yeah.
And I think that is enough to want pictures of your dog.
I mean, our generation now doesn't have kids. They have dogs.
Yep. Exactly. It's their firstborn child. Yes. And they want all the photos that they can get. As they should.
Yep.
I think that a lot of people just book it because it's like fun and they want silly photos of their dogs. And then obviously the more morbid reasons that their dogs are getting older you know, they've got a puppy and an older dog and they want photos of them together the older one is, you know, at a point where they're maybe not looking their best or feeling their best, that they wouldn't be taking them to all these kinds of places.
That's such a great idea. Let's get a puppy and then book a session. Well, that'd be so adorable.
But I know. Well, that's what people, do with human babies. They have like cute photos.
Yeah, like newborn kind of pictures.
With dogs. Do you help people like get them printed if they wanted to, or is everything just digital?
Yeah, so everything like when it's delivered is in kind of like an online storefront, so you can like kind of order through that. But a lot of times, like, I mean, I have no issue saying that you can order them through Costco. You can order them through London Drugs. Yeah. Go wild, go crazy. I mean, there's a few places that the colors will look whack being printed. But I mean, if you're paying $1.50 for a photo.
When they see these photos for the first time, or you send that kind of gallery, what are the reactions you see or hear from them most of the time?
Just humor. That they're dying laughing, that it's the funniest thing ever. My DMs when I deliver the proofing galleries is usually just like laughter.
So that's different than what you normally think from photographers or anything. It's just like, oh, that was so sweet. Yeah. Oh, that's very beautiful. And which is good, but like laughing is like the best thing for you.
It's wonderful to get these like DMs being like, oh my God, my dog looks so dumb. Like, this is the best thing ever.
In a good way. Not laughing and like this is stupid.
It's just like, you know, you've encapsulated their like their best friend's silly personality and they're just like laughing.
I think that's
that.
Like such a good niche. Like it's amazing.
Great. Yeah.
Cause there's so many, like we were talking about that there's so many photographers out there, obviously. So you kind of need to pick that your own thing that makes you special. Right. Yeah. So I think that's great.
So what's your thoughts on like, well, I guess the question of why should people not wait to get photos? So say it's something that they've been thinking about forever. I know you do ones of the, like the legacy ones as well, but you know, what's a reason why people should not wait to get photos done?
I'm really sorry to say this, but dogs can die.
Yes.
You don't really get to decide when.
Okay. That's very true.
As morbid as that is, it's a true fact.
But they can get sick out of nowhere, right?
They can get sick out of nowhere. Just like so many things can happen to your dog. And I mean, waiting can unfortunately result in you not having those photos. I don't think anyone will ever regret getting photos done professionally of their family or of their pets, which are family.
So
I don't think anyone ever got it, but just they're too sick. And I would never recommend that if your dog was too sick where they, you know, it is kind of like end of life, putting them in a situation where, you know, they wouldn't have the comforts of their home. So yeah, waiting too long is.
And I guess if they're that far gone too, it's like, do you really want those as a memory of your photo? Like,
exactly.
Stick to the ones you took on your phone.
I mean, you can still make a sick dog look derpy, I guess.
So yes, but my thing is like, you're going to remember the experience.
Yeah.
And if you're going to remember the experience as being like, oh, my dog like really didn't enjoy that,
or
that was hard for them, I think that that also plays a role.
That's true. Yeah.
If you wait too long, the experience won't be the fun experience of like, oh, my old dog like crushed it and was like so cute. Yeah. And that was really fun. And it'll be like, oh, I think I did this too late.
Yeah.
And like, this was a stressful outing for my dog.
Right. And then so
teaches you for the next dog to not wait.
Yes.
But that's unfortunate. That's how it works for some people.
Yeah.
So I guess the last thing is, if you can convey one message to a pet parent on like the value of professional photography, like what would that be?
I mean, the value of professional photography in like the avenue of like derp dog.
Yes.
I think is, you know, having those memories, those portraits, those like lifelong things to hang on your wall, to remember your dog the way that you want to remember your dog. And then professional portraits in terms of like the rescues, I think that it just like our rescues are so overrun right now. And like, there's not enough like ways to get good photos of these dogs, that like the professional photos really helps those dogs that have maybe been in the shelter for too long for no fault of their own, to really be seen and be seen in like a new light of being like this very adoptable dog and not this sad dog that you're going to either want to adopt because of pity or guilt, but because of like you're obsessed with that dog and it looks like a really fun time.
So let's say we want to get involved with taking pictures for shelters and rescues and things like that. What are some tips and tricks that you could tell us about that, you know, to make like the pictures great?
Or like viewers that do have a nice camera or they want to help out. So,
Okay. So taking pictures of dogs. One, I think video is like really needed these days because as many static photos as you can take, like sure you can make them look great. But I think that like people want to know how they move and how like they are.
How they interact.
So showing
right?
like short little videos of even you like walking the dog or the dog sniffing or the dog playing with a toy or taking treats, just like little ways that you can like kind of, I guess, showcase the dog's personality that aligns with like the bio that you're going to write or how you're going to share them. But in terms of photos, if you have a professional camera, great. Pump that shutter speed up because you're probably going to be dealing with the dog moving a bunch.
Sometimes people have professional cameras and they don't know how to use them, right?
Yes. So yep.
That's exactly.
Also an issue. And then there is
learn
one.
How to use your camera first. Yes.
That, yeah. And then the thing, like if you can get outside, that is most ideal where you're going to find actual good light.
Yeah.
If you can't get outside and you're taking it from inside, find some window light, find a way that it's not like, if it's 10 o'clock at night and it's dark in your home, wait till tomorrow. Like you need to do it right now. Wait till tomorrow when you can get some good light. And then one thing that I like to say for like anybody who's never taken photos or like doesn't know how to find good light is like put your hand up in front of you and like walk around in a circle and you'll watch the light change on your hand.
Oh, yeah,
that makes
and
sense. I mean, I guess I know what
you'll be able to find the direction that you should be like putting your dog and then shooting from that side.
Wow. That's a good trick.
So it's like a good trick when you're outside and it's bright sun and you're like, where can I take photos?
So would you say like the lightning is basically the most important thing when it comes to
that? Yes, it definitely can be. And then also like making sure that the dog doesn't look scared or like super sad and like being finding what motivates that dog. So some dogs are gonna be motivated by food. Some dogs are gonna be motivated by toys. Some dogs are gonna be motivated by like simply touching them and being around them.
Yeah.
So finding what motivates them. And then I like to kind of create a game out of it. So if you're new to taking pictures of dogs and like aren't in a confined space where they can be like off leash per se, being able to like sit them, get a treat. Take a step back, sit, take a treat. And like making it a game that like they now know, okay, if I sit, I get a treat. And then slowly working your way back so that you can take those photos. And then getting on their level, not taking photos from above.
Yeah.
Getting on their level, meeting them where they're at. And then like feeding them treats, asking for their attention. And I find that if like they're kind of you know, in the environment, looking around and not really focusing. If I move my hand really quickly towards the camera, things like that to kind of capture their attention, or taking a squeaker out of your dog's toys and having that with you, and going a step further. Sometimes I even take the squeaker all the way out of like the one that you would normally press. And I just put it in the side of my mouth so I can make it and they won't know where it's coming from.
Oh, yeah, wow. Because you have faces behind the camera. Yeah. So that makes sense.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
That is a great.
And I got to put a squeaker in my mouth next time I take pictures.
Yes, like. Exactly. It's one of those things you got to figure out what's going to get their attention. You got to get on their level. Scenery sure can be important. But I would not say that taking pictures from really far away of these adoptable dogs is in their best favor. You want pictures of them kind of like up close of their full body.
Yeah.
And like, it's less about like the scenery behind, but don't make it a busy scenery behind that's distracting.
That the scenery is more important, right? Than an actual dog.
Like if I was taking pictures of Rooster and like we were out in the mountains, I'd be like him in the scenery. I want a lot of the scenery because I'm obsessed with my dog and we have enough photos of him up close, but for an adoptable dog, you don't necessarily
need a portrait.
You don't need that scenery. You don't need that big wide shot.
It's not about the mountain.
Exactly. And nor are you going to get a dog in a shelter to sit and stay and walk all the way back to get that shot.
That's so true.
So do you like advertise those dogs yourself for adoption or do you send those pictures to shelters advertise by themselves?
Okay. So collaborative posts are really great things on Instagram these days. So you can invite the rescue to do a collab post. And even sometimes I'll invite the fosters, like if they're also have a public account and foster regularly, I'll invite them. So there's a few collaborators and it can kind of get to everyone's audience and be shared that way. So collaborative post, and then I do send the files to the adoption, or I guess the adoption, the like rescue.
It's funny that you said about like pictures being taken from above. Like I find that people do it all the time.
Yes.
And it's like, stop, like just crouch down a little bit, right?
I know your knees hurt. I don't care. Get down there.
Right?
On like, your stomach just looks across. So silly.
And I mean, like it is a very cute and like silly, like portrait from above, like their eyes looking up at you. It is very cute, but I don't think that like it encapsulates like what that person would be adopting or looking for, and also like size and like
It can distort the picture as well.
I think that's where video helps too. Like you said, walking a dog next to a person, now you can see like, oh, they're not as big as I thought they were. Or
And I found like I fostered this past year boxers, and I found that like posting Boxer Rescue Canada. They have a Facebook group. I found like, sure, the photos did well, but what did better was like showing her working with me. So like, I would just take like time-lapse videos of me in the garage working with her or her walking on a leash with me and just like showing her progress or like things that she's really good at and things that we're working on. And I think that just helps people kind of know, like you don't want to, you know, when you post about a rescue, you don't want to be like, these are all the bad things about this dog or the things that need a lot of work. Instead, you want to be like, these are all the things that this dog's working on and here it's going well. Like being able to like show it in like a positive light and not a like terrible on a leash or like,
you know? Like, you know, they need some work on a leash, but this is how we kind of work through that issue, right?
Yeah, you don't see very many videos though. So I understand that, because I see posts all the time about rescue and it's just photos.
Yeah. And like simply like, you know, meeting you for the first time or meeting friends that you're with, like just like, how are they greeting? What's their body language? It just kind of like,
It makes people feel safer, I guess, right?
And it's a lot of content for the rescue to then use and be able to showcase and reshare a bunch of times if there's like a few things happening in that post.
Yeah.
So for that, would you find, I think like the best thing for people to do is like you mentioned earlier, like reach out to the rescues, let them know like your intentions and you want to help out by doing this.
Yes.
And
if you can't foster, reach out about taking dogs out for the day or a weekend or things like that, because that's a really great way to still be involved. And get these dogs out to be socialized, to like see new things and make their world bigger than what it is at a foster or in a shelter, and be able to help kind of figure out what their personality is so that they can find the best home.
That's amazing. I didn't actually know that you can do that, that you can actually contact shelter. And
her name, I want to say it's like Rachel. Her Instagram handle is Trails and Bears, I think.
Okay.
Don't quote me on this.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'm not wrong. She is one of the ones who, like, I don't want to say that she created this whole thing, but it feels like she created this whole thing in Alberta. And she does a lot of like adoption walks, and she like even teaches people, like volunteers, how to take better photos, and they can like go on like kind of like photo walks with her in the mountains, with adoptable dogs. But she has like a whole thing, on it, and her Instagram, tons of dogs have been adopted through it. And she's like a really lovely person. You guys should have her on.
Yes, we'll reach out to her.
She's so lovely to the rescue community, and like her Instagram is just full of cute dogs to adopt.
And I guess that's what people like, that's something that, I mean, we didn't know. I guess helping rescues is not just like donating money or even getting like rescuing a dog if you can. It's these little things of if you have a,
you know, spare, you can day, just spare a day, like take them out.
Like if you're going to go pictures, on a hike anyways, and you don't have a dog to go hike with, why not take one of them?
Yeah. Exactly. Like that is such a good idea.
It's true.
Because we were always those people. We were going on hikes and we're seeing everyone with dogs and we're like, this is why I need a dog.
I didn't know that.
And I didn't know.
We definitely need her on this so she can educate all people like us way more about that.
If you can't foster or if you can't donate, volunteer in some capacity.
Or you can just hang out with a dog for a day.
You can borrow a dog.
Commitment.
And you might just fall in love with the dog and
that's
adopt
true.
It. And
that's the danger.
Danger or the bonus.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's something I'm worried about with you, but we'll see.
You are currently banned from doing it.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't go. And then I'll, but then without, if it's just me, then I'll just do the exact same thing.
But it's also like a great way for your own dog, if you have one, to introduce another dog and see how they interact with it, you know, make a play day out of it. Why not, right?
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, that's awesome. Is there anything, I guess you, is there any other questions you want to ask?
No, I guess, is there anything else you would like to share with our audience?
I don't think so.
No?
I'm sure I forgot something, but.
So you can tell us where people can find you, your Instagram handles, your website and things like that.
You can find me online on Instagram at Derp Dog Studios, derpdogstudios.com. All the things are Derp Dog Studios. You can You can nominate a dog that is old or possibly sick. If you just go through my Instagram, you'll be able to find the link for that. You can nominate them and then I just randomly draw. And then if you are a rescue in that, you can definitely reach out. I just keep the people on my roster. And when I have time slots open, I just reach out and say, who can come?
So your studio is in Calgary, Alberta only?
It's in Calgary, Alberta only. You can definitely drive in, fly in, bring your dog.
Yeah,
we are hoping to be able to do some dates in Edmonton this year, but we shall see which studios allow me to have dogs.
I guess that's it.
And you're going to be at some events too this year?
Yes, I am going to be at Spruce Meadows Fido Fest, April 19th to 21st, I believe.
2024.
If it's way past that, she can.
Yeah, you missed out. Shame on you.
Exactly.
So people can come in and just say hello, kind of learn more about your services and things, or book a session, right?
Exactly.
Cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that is all from us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you.
No, that was great. We learned something new. We always learn something new. So that's fascinating. But that's awesome. That's it for today's episode. We want to thank Sarah for being on the show today. If you got any value out of this show, then make sure you share it with any other dog lovers, like the video, and don't forget to subscribe if you're watching this on YouTube. Is there anything else you want to add, Magda?
Oh, yes. So actually, I want to talk about this book, a coffee table book.
Yeah, it's just a picture book that people would put on their table.
Yeah, that Sarah gifted to us, and it basically just showcases her work of a bunch of Derp Dogs of 2023. So there's like some cute pictures I'll show you guys here with little descriptions of each dog. And you can get yours on Derp Dogs website.
Yeah. And I think she is making one for this year. So if you wanted to be in the book, then you have to book a session with her as well. So you can be in the book for the Volume 2, because this is Volume 1. So.
Yeah, maybe one day we can be in this book.
Maybe, actually. We should. But yeah, that's all for today. So thanks for watching, and we'll see you in the next one.
All right, bye for now.